This is how you would approach Vedanta. Now, one of the major questions that we have been getting in the channel is with regards to how to approach the study of Vedanta. If a seeker has to explore the teachings of Vedanta and the Upanishads and the essential teachings of Sanatana Dharma, how can they approach this? We have gotten many comments on this. So today we will address this. Today we will look at which text to approach first, which teaching to go to next, and how we can systematically approach this and understand the essential teachings of Vedanta. The Advaita channel is about consciousness and conscious creation. Here we explore Vedanta and various other ancient teachings from India to understand the nature of reality and to consciously create our lives. At first, we need to look at some foundational texts, because at first it is important for a seeker to understand the frameworks and terminologies that is associated with Vedanta. Because without this, our deeper understanding becomes difficult. And when we begin to discuss different complex frameworks of Vedanta, it becomes quite difficult for a seeker to understand. And to master the foundational concepts of Vedanta, there are two important books. One can first start with Tattva Bodha of Adiguru Shankaracharya. Tattva Bodha is a book of definitions. Basically, what is Sukshma Sharira? What is Thula Sharira? What is Karana Sharira? What is Brahman? What is Atman? What is Avastatraya Viveka? What is Drigdrishya Viveka? So all these frameworks, all these definitions are neatly covered in the Tattva Bodha text. And once we simply go through this and understand these terminologies, we begin to understand the essence of Vedanta. It is not just about the definitions. Shankaracharya goes even deeper to explain the essence of Vedanta itself within Tattva Bodha. But this Tattva Bodha text is considered as the foundational teaching to Advaita Vedanta. And there is another text that one can refer, which is Vedanta Sara of Sadananda, which has been translated by Swami Nikhilananda. So this is another text which is again about the foundational concepts of Advaita Vedanta, and it is about different definitions and frameworks. You can even just start with Tattva Bodha to begin your journey. After this, we need to discuss the foundational texts of Advaita Vedanta. These are the primary texts or teachings that a seeker must study if he or she wishes to dive deep into Advaita Vedanta. There are three categories of texts. There is the Upanishads, there is Bhagavad Gita, and then there is Brahma Sutras. Together, these three texts are called as Prasthana Trayi. These are the three foundational primary texts that a student of Vedanta studies. This is how the system has been created from the time of Adiguru Shankaracharya. At first, let us look at the Upanishads. There is Mandukya Upanishad, there is Mundaka Upanishad. Like this, there are many, many Upanishads which are a part of Vedas. Upanishads are the ending or the essence of the Vedas. Hence, it is called as Vedanta, the final revelations of the Vedas. It is said that there are more than 200 Upanishads, and if we begin to explore each and every one of them, it becomes a very long and tedious journey. But Adiguru Shankaracharya has translated the 10 important Upanishads. These are called as the 10 major Upanishads in Sanatana Dharma. Now, they are called as the 10 major Upanishads because Adiguru Shankaracharya, you know, has chose them to do deep dives on them and to write his commentaries on them, not for any other reason. Apart from this, every Upanishad is unique and every Upanishad is talking about that ultimate reality in its own way. And every Upanishad is important. And these 10 Upanishads are Isha, Kena, Katha, Prashna, Mundaka, Mandukya, Aitareya, then Taittiriya, and then Chandogya and Brihadaranyaka. So these are the 10 Upanishads that a seeker must look into. And even within these Upanishads, one can start with the Mandukya Upanishad, the Kathopanishad, the Kenopanishad, Ishopanishad, which are very popular and which give us the essence of what Vedanta speaks about. And when it comes to translations, we must be very careful because there are certain Western translations and interpretations that have distorted the essence of Upanishads. It is always recommended to study this directly in Sanskrit. But since most of us are not very well versed in Sanskrit, we must depend on some reliable translations. For the Upanishads, I refer to the translations done by Swami Chinmayananda or translations done by Ramakrishna Mission and Swami Vivekananda. So you can keep this in mind as you begin your studies. Now, after the Upanishads comes the most popular and the most important text that is known to mankind, that is the Holy Bhagavad Gita. Now, this book that I'm holding, I do not even wish to call this a book. This is the revelation that was given to humanity by God Himself, by that infinite consciousness itself that took form to reveal the reality for the humanity, to reveal what this reality is for humanity. So, this is a significant teaching. Bhagavad Gita within itself holds the key to mastering this reality and even transcending this reality. Bhagavad Gita is the word of Sri Krishna, who is the ultimate reality when it took form. So, it is a profound teaching and within itself, it has the essence of all the Upanishads. It is said that Bhagavad Gita is like the milk and Upanishads are the different cows from which the milk was milked. And Sri Krishna is the milkman, the gulla who milked the milk for us. And Bhagavad Gita is a text which is helpful for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter what you are doing and where you are at in your life, whether you are a student or a seeker or a professional or an entrepreneur, Bhagavad Gita has something to offer for each and every one of us. It offers us multidimensional wisdom. Based on where we are at, we can get something out of the Gita to transform our lives. And even when it comes to Bhagavad Gita, there are very distorted translations. I do not want to take names of any institutions or people because I do not like controversies. But when you study Bhagavad Gita, simply study the Sanskrit shlokas and their authentic translations. Even if you want to study the commentaries, depend on reliable sources. And even when it comes to Bhagavad Gita, I am studying the Holy Gita, which was translated and commented upon by Swami Chinmayananda. This is a very beautiful translation and a very authentic translation. And after Bhagavad Gita comes the Brahma Sutras. Brahma Sutras are not for beginners. We need to come to this after we finish studying the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita and the foundational texts of Tattva Bodha, Vedanta Sara and certain Prakarana Granthas, which are other works of Shankaracharya. I have not fully studied the Brahma Sutras. I have just started with the Brahma Sutras, but by their nature, they are very cryptic. And they are sutras. A sutra is a small statement which is like a formula which can be decoded to understand the nature of reality. So, only when we are well versed with Vedanta and the concepts and the frameworks of Vedanta, and once we have certain confidence in the knowledge that we have, Brahma Sutras become useful for us. So, this is about the Brahma Sutras. After this, let us look at the Prakarana Granthas of Adiguru Shankaracharya. Now, Prakarana Granthas are the texts that were actually composed by Adiguru Shankaracharya to help seekers, because the Upanishads and the Brahma Sutras were composed or were given to humanity thousands and thousands of years ago. Sometimes it is difficult for us to understand the context and certain deeper meanings that are associated with these texts. This is where Prakarana Granthas come in. These are the independent texts or works composed by Shankaracharya to help us on our journey. They elaborate on the nature of reality, and each of these texts take a different approach to help us understand this reality. And Shankaracharya has composed many of these texts, and the Tattva Bodha that we discussed earlier is one of such Prakarana Granthas. After that, there is Atma Bodha, there is Aparoksha Anubhuti, there is Viveka Chudamani. Like this, there are many, many works of Shankaracharya. But I personally love Aparoksha Anubhuti. Aparoksha Anubhuti is a small work in terms of its size, but it gives the essence of Vedanta in the most direct way. Aparoksha Anubhuti literally, you know, means the first-hand direct perception of reality. In terms of all the works that I have gone through, the Aparoksha Anubhuti gave me certain deep insights into reality. And once we are familiar with the foundational teachings of Vedanta, we can come to this. After this, based on your interest, one can look at different Upanishads, different other works of Shankaracharya. And then there is also the Ashtavakra Gita, which is considered as the highest teaching of non-duality. This is technically not a teaching. This is considered as a text of meditation or Nididhyasana. Nididhyasana is considered as the most important aspect of learning when it comes to Vedanta. Vedanta prescribes three levels of learning in order to see transformation within us. The first step is Shravana, which is about reading and studying these texts and listening to the teaching from a teacher. Step two is Manana. Manana is about revision and thorough understanding of the concepts and frameworks of Vedanta. After this stage is completed, the third level is Nididhyasana. This is about deep contemplation and meditation. And trust me, this is the most important aspect of the study of Vedanta, because until this point, everything is very intellectual. This is what happened to me a few years ago. I was studying these scriptures, but nothing seemed to change within me. I was getting it intellectually, but something was missing. And as I began meditating upon these teachings and simply contemplating about it, you know, the universe will give you certain insights, and then wherever you look at around you, something will keep reminding you on the essence of reality, and it helps you integrate this wisdom. So Nididhyasana is about deep contemplation and meditation, and it is about actually living this knowledge. It is about living this truth as it is. Now, apart from all of these texts, one of the most important works and teachings that has helped me personally is the work of Swami Vivekananda. Swami Vivekananda has written many texts, many translations, commentaries, etc. He has translated the Patanjali Yoga Sutras, and he has given various lectures. And there are 10 books. If you can see it in the background, it is in my library, the entire 10 books of Swami Vivekananda, which covers the complete works of Swami Vivekananda, from his poems to his lectures to his translations, etc. Everything is within these 10 big books. And this particular book is the first volume in the series. So Swami Vivekananda's works was one of the first books that I read, which inspired me to pursue this journey. And his teachings are very direct, very scientific, and it appeals to a modern mind. And I highly recommend you to study the works of Swami Vivekananda. Now, apart from all of this, I also study Adiguru Shankaracharya's classical works in a direct way. There was a Swamiji named Swami Sachidananda Saraswati, and I am studying his works for some time now. Basically, the point that he makes is that the Advaita Vedanta that is being taught today by most of the teachers across the world is distorted from the original teachings of Adiguru Shankaracharya. Those of you who follow the teachings of Advaita Vedanta know that there are two schools of thought within Advaita Vedanta called the Bhamati school and Vivarana school, which describe the nature of avidya and the locus of avidya and maya in their own way. But I always felt there was something wrong with this, because we can never point out the locus of avidya. Now we are getting into a deeper aspect of Vedanta, which I do not wish to go into in this video. We will make a separate video on this. But essentially, it is better for us to study the classical Advaita Vedanta, which was given to us by Adiguru Shankaracharya and the gurus who were before him. We also have Sri Gaudapadacharya's commentary on the Mandukya Upanishad, who was the guru's guru of Adiguru Shankaracharya. These teachings are very direct. But then, if we rely on the translations and commentaries of these Upanishads and Adiguru Shankaracharya's works, which are done at a later period, then there are certain distortions. So it is better for us to study the classical Advaita Vedanta as it is. But remember, it is always recommended to follow a teacher and take the guidance of a guru while studying Vedanta.
Hello there. If you wish to understand the true nature of reality and learn about consciousness, conscious creation, and the teachings of the ancient Vedanta in order to live your life with purpose, achieve fulfillment, and consciously create a life that you truly want to live, then you can join our community Come Learning platform, the Advaita Conscious Society. For more information, visit advaita.com. Thank you.